You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are on, and I am very excited to have this next guest on. First, I want to thank my friend DJ Van Curen and the Family Office Real Estate Magazine. This is the featured article, the featured writer, their June 28 inaugural issue. Akhil Patel from Ascendant Strategy. Too much Gatorade this morning. Akhil, welcome to the show, and thanks for staying up late in London to talk to us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Jim. It's a real pleasure, and it's only 11 o'clock, so not too late.
Oh, it's not that bad then. So listen, you know, I've been in real estate for 40 years. I got a real estate undergraduate, got an MBA in real estate feasibility study and real estate analysis. And we've talked about the real estate cycle in my entire career, and I have never seen it parsed like this. Where'd you come up with this?
Well, actually, I'm working within a fairly long tradition of economists and researchers. They're not too many of them, and they're not particularly well known about, but it goes back to an American economist in the 1930s who analyzed real estate cycles in the city of Chicago as it developed over the course of the 19th century. And he found very clear evidence of a very regular 18-year real estate cycle that would build up over the course of almost two decades and then kind of burst in a spectacular collapse, and you know, there'd be very high unemployment and the banks would collapse and the stock market would tank and so on, and then the government would intervene, would save some banks, and they would start the process all over again. And pretty much the only events that have actually interrupted the cycle over 200 years of American history have been the two world wars. Other than that, it's a very regular pattern. The reason that people don't know about it is probably, I guess, that people don't know their real estate history particularly well.
Not that way, and I'll tell you, that's amazing, because I've always been trying to figure out what the real estate cycle was going to be. And when I was in school, it was always this, you know, thing that looked up and down and up and down and up and down. And then after that, we came up with something that each product type had a different real estate cycle. And I've actually observed that. But when you talk about your macro approach, that's where you win the argument. Tell me a little bit about the difference and how you differentiate between those micro fluctuations and the macro approach. And I think your concept of the secondary peak in the curve is really cool. Sorry, I'm talking like an economist. I'm just loving this.
That's fine. Yes, well, I think really the real estate cycle that I've talked about is the main economic cycle. So it affects the entire economy. And at the end of it, you'll know when it's arriving because the economy really tanks. And the stock market pretty much every time halves in value. And, you know, unemployment reaches 10% and, you know, the economy, people are in a great sort of recession, depression type activity. I mean, obviously, the United States is a very large country and you can really not say that it has one real estate market. It has probably six regional markets. And then within each regional market, there is a specific set of cities and they have their own particular rhythms. And prices go up and down based upon supply of new properties or real estate coming onto the market and, you know, whether people are moving in and so on. But they do always coordinate and get into sync towards the end of the, you know, particularly the last sort of 3 to 5 years of the real estate cycle, the overall macro cycle that I'm talking about. And there's typically a very strong boom in property prices. And the last one that we went through was sort of after about 2002. So if you recall, think back to the days when you were investing in real estate between 2002, 2006, and particularly in Florida, actually, you didn't need to be particularly smart in investing to make a lot of money out of it because everything was going over the top. And so it's really at the end of the cycle that you start to see all these different markets tend to coordinate.
Now, see, what I would say, and you made something, a real good comment in here, and I have the benefit of looking at your chart, and the problem, and the chart has two peaks on the upward slope. And so what really happens is the fact, and I love this, and I'm going to give you this, you call it the winner's curse. I call it you win, but you lose. And what happens is at the end of the cycle, you overpay and then there's a decline. And because you were a late actor, you don't have a positive experience. It's the early actor, the early mover.
Yeah, you can't. And towards, you know, so just for readers who haven't had the benefit of reading the article in the Family Office magazine, essentially the last 2 years are the years where the 2 years into the peak of the cycle are really sort of boom years. Credit from banks and from other sources is really very available. And, you know, prices are rising so quickly. So people stop looking at fundamentals and whether an investment deal really stacks up. And they basically assume that the price of the asset will increase no matter what. And the problem is that very quickly after peak of the cycle, you know, asset values fall very rapidly because, you know, people exit the market, credit dries up. There's no buyers, and you're forced to sell your assets at fire sale prices, and it can be a very, very difficult experience for a lot of people. You really have to be careful. But the problem is, emotionally, everyone is telling you, you've got to be in the market. You really need to be making investments, and so it can be quite hard to stay out because, you know, we all have FOMO, fear of missing out.
Well, the other thing is that a lot of people will buy it with a big institutional fund and they'll get timed out and get forced to sell at the wrong time. So they can get hurt that way, too. There's a lot of ways that people can get cut. And I'm sorry I'm like cutting you off. I want you to finish your thing. And then I want to talk a little bit. Could you stay for another segment with us? Because Wanda tells me people can hear me whispering. And so they must have heard that I think you're a genius.
Yes, no, that's absolutely fine.
Okay, great. Well, Wanda, let's take an early break right now because I want to talk to Akhil again in the next segment. Akhil, I sell a lot of land in Miami, so you know where I'm going after that. So, Wanda, let's tell you. See, I made him laugh. Now we can go to break, Wanda.